Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Thank you, worship team, and good morning, church family. We are in the book of Job, chapter 40. If you have a Bible and can turn to Job, chapter 40, we'll pick up there in just a moment. Keep in mind, we are stepping back into where Ben left off last week. God is speaking to Job. We've heard the friends, we've heard Elihu, and now we're hearing from God. What God talks about today to Job is one of the most peculiar things you may have ever read in the Bible. This will be a very different sermon. And so to kind of jump us into the text, I need you to use your imagination for just a moment to kind of get ready for where God is going today in the context. So I need you to imagine. You leave worship today. Eventually you get home. You pull in and you're going into your house. And just as you enter, you open your door to enter into your house, dropping down right in front of your face, out of nowhere, is this big, beautiful, brown spider. What do you do? I know the reactions are all, they're different. Some of you jump, some of you scream, some of you swat at it, some of you squeal, you run for your life, and eventually you or somebody takes care of it. You enter into your house, you lay your Bible down, you lay your phone down, you lay your keys down on the counter, and just as you're putting those things down, you look, and about 6 inches from your right hand, staring you in the eye with his big black eyes, is none other than Mr. Mouse. What do you do? Some of you jump, some of you scream, some of you run, some of you swat at it, some of you climb the wall. And then eventually, someone takes care of it, right? Well, after your heart rate calms down, you go and you sit down on the couch. You need to relax. You stretch out on the couch. You got your feet up under your coffee table. You're trying to, maybe you're going to take a little afternoon nap. You look down, and right next to your right foot, there it is, about 6 inches away, is none other than Mr. Copperhead. What do? You jump, you squeal, you run. Commotion and chaos is all over the house, and maybe you call Hunter, or you call me, or you call Cody. You need somebody to come to your rescue, right? It's just chaotic for a moment, and so finally you get that taken care of. You sit back down on the couch for the second time. You're trying to relax. Something's outside. It's making noise. You open up your back door, and right there it is. It's hungry. It's angry. It's standing on its hind legs. It's a black bear. He's staring you right in the eyes. What do? You kind of get the idea, don't you? Your heart's racing. Anybody heart racing? Your heart's racing a little bit. I love it. It's good. It's the set. It's the context that we wanted. I know for a few of us here, that would get us pretty fired up. We grabbed the 30-30. He's had a bad day. But Job didn't have a 30-30, okay? That's the point. Job didn't have a 30-30. And so the reason, actually, let me back up and say it this way. What does the bear, the copperhead, the spider, and the mouse all have in common? Our undivided attention. This is the point, okay? When we're in the presence of these kind of creatures, they have our undivided attention because we know they are untrustworthy and chaotic. You could never expect the spider or the copperhead to do good in your life. It's not happening. You know that. And so as we step into this text today, God is asking us to look at a creature that Job could see clearly in his day, but we can't see today. God is asking us to behold the behemoth and the leviathan. And when these creatures come to mind, everyone in Job's day would have felt what we just felt. Like, it's chaos. You could never expect a behemoth or a leviathan out in the sea to be your friend, to be your pet, to be kind to you. You don't trust their intentions. They're going to create chaos in your life. And kind of the point as we pick back up into this conversation is simply this. When we suffer, Life can feel very chaotic. Sometimes things break and go wrong multiple times in one day, doesn't it? Maybe that happened to you this week on your Thanksgiving break. And it can feel like everything is out of control, because if we could control it, we would fix it. We'd make it all right then. And it's in these moments that, just like Job, the old nature within you, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you still have the old son of Adam, daughter of Eve nature, tempts us to question God. This isn't fair. Why is this happening? Do something. I need help. Stay with me. And in those moments of questioning God's goodness, what God is trying to help us to see is we're accusing Him of acting like a monster. If God isn't trustworthy, how are we thinking of Him any different than that spider or that snake or that behemoth or that leviathan? And so God longs for us to constantly trust His character beyond the things that we can't control. We can't fix it, and we can't make it right. Sorry if the bear scared somebody. But we're there. And so if you're now ready to jump into this text, say, let's go. Okay, looking at Job chapter 40, please stand with me in reverence and honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Verse 1 says, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, 'Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it.' Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further.' Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like His? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath and look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Look now at the behemoth which I made along with you.'" Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would deepen our understanding of who you are so that we can tap into the wisdom that is available to us in these moments of life that everything feels out of our control. It feels like chaos. Father, you know every detail of every struggle of every person in this room or watching online. We ask that you would speak into our lives in a way that is best for what the challenges we face. Father, we look and we see horrible things happening all around the world and often right here in our lives. We understand things break and things mess up. We understand that there are people who are bullies and they're among the greatest cowards in the world. There are people who gossip and lie and tear down and steal and murder. But we know that it does not change the goodness of who you are. So give us peace and power and wisdom to stand and trust you beyond what we can't fix ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So God really lays it out there in the middle of this conversation pretty clear to Job. Job, just imagine for a moment that you could see all the prideful, monster-like people in the world in one day. How would you fix it? How would you speak into it? What would you do simultaneously in every person's life? Because when we step back, most of us, if we're being honest, at one point in time, we acted like monsters. We were the person who was out of control, threatening, or chaotic. And thankfully, God didn't give us what we deserved in the moment, like maybe Job is demanding, but He gave us mercy and grace, and He put it on His Son, and we've been forgiven, and we've been redeemed. And so God is asking Job to do what we all know we can't do and what Job can't do, and that's to run the world and take care of all the evil in a moment. And so the main idea of really these verse 15 verses, and this is kind of the main idea throughout chapter 40 and 41, is simply this: the chaos of this world is not a threat to the trustworthiness and sovereignty of God. We've seen over and over and over what Job did not see, and that is Satan's accusation against Job and his challenge to God that if Job suffered the way Satan would like for him to suffer, then Job would curse God to his face. That's still what Satan wants us to do today, to accuse God of being a monster, out of control, untrustworthy. And so if you wrote nothing else down today, I would invite you to write down this one line, and it's going to come up again and again. I want you to see that theme today. So now we want to look at Behemoth. Behemoth was not a creature, is not a creature that's walking on the earth today. I don't think God would make up what he's about to tell us about Behemoth and Leviathan, because we don't see these details in a creature today on the earth. I don't think he would try to make something up in order to make his point. So these are real creatures that Job looked at. And so let me just go back right here. And I want you to see that God said, look at the behemoth, but look at him in a way that I made him along with you. Now, when God spoke about the wild donkey and the strong ox last week, he didn't say anything about the wild ox and strong donkeys like you. When he spoke about the deer and the goat and the really fast ostrich and the horse, he didn't say the ostrich and the horse are like you. He intentionally now says the behemoth, thankfully not the spider and the copperhead, the behemoth I made like I made you. There's a point to this, and we're going to grab some of those parallels. And so when God begins to describe the behemoth, in verse 16, he says, see now, his strength is in his hips. His power is in his stomach muscles. He's got a six-pack. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. Now, a lot of people think that the behemoth is a hippopotamus. I've never seen a hippopotamus with a tail as big as a cedar tree. That's just my thoughts right there, okay? God goes on and says, his bones are like beams of bronze and his ribs like bars of iron. He is the first, this is the key point, the best, the chief. He's preeminent of the ways of God or the works of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. In other words, God is saying the only one that can touch him and walk up to him with a sword is the one who made him. That's me. That's God. And so we're reminded here that if the behemoth was preeminent, set apart, and distinguished among all other creatures, we're reminded that at the very beginning of Job chapter 1, that's who Job was. None in all the east was like him. His possessions, his ways, even God said, there's none like him in all the earth. So now, I want you to imagine the behemoth for a second. And I've had some really good participants this week send me some drawings from their imagination. So let's go through it and let's look at a few of these. And I want you to think about facing this creature. And then let's come back to the point that God is trying to make and why Job would have looked at this creature and felt kind of what we felt with the copperhead and the black bear that's hangry. Alden's behemoth right there. Great job, Alden. It's beastly. I don't want to meet that guy in a dark alley. Colson's behemoth right there. Very scary. Stay away from him altogether. Holly Ford's behemoth. Don't let the colors fool you into thinking this behemoth is nice. The female ones are mean too. Caleb Schuler's behemoth. Also very terrifying. Startling to look at. Fancy tail. Eli Hartley's behemoth. Again, a guy that you don't want to go try to pet on any given day. Jaden's behemoth. Notice the six-pack of abs. Taking some scripture literals. Good. So you get the point. The scripture invites us to use our imagination because we're not there, but we can still take away the point that God's trying to make to Job and he wants to make to us. So now God continues to describe the behemoth. And he says, surely the mountains yield food for him and all the beasts of the field play there. God's point is this: I provided everything the behemoth needed. You go back to Job chapter 1, God had blessed and provided everything that Job needed. He feasted with his children year round. Verse 21, God says, he lies under the lotus trees in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus trees cover with him their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. So each of these words highlighted are signifying that he is protected. God provided for him what he needs to be protected. Do you remember what God or what Satan said about Job to God? You're protecting him. You've put a hedge around him. Of course I see him. He's blameless and upright, but I can't touch him because you're protecting him. And so God is showing us that he provides and he protects, and the behemoth is preeminent, and Job, so are you. So if you look at Aria's behemoth, she has the lotus trees and the willows right there protecting him. That's great. Again, a guy that you don't want to go get in the swamp with. And so then God now gets to his point for Job and for us. And it's in verse 23 and 24. Indeed, the river may rage. This is probably the Jordan River. Yet he is not disturbed. He is confident. Though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. Here's God's point. Those words that are underlined, the raging river, gushing, someone trying to snare him or pierce him, is symbolic of chaos in the behemoth's life. When the waters are turbulent, when the behemoth encounters chaos, he doesn't lose his peace. He holds on to his power that God gave him. God's point is, Job, I created you to be powerful and at peace and to stand strong when the chaos of life becomes turbulent in your life. That's who we are. If you're going through a situation today and you're born again, you've trusted the gospel, you have the Holy Spirit, it's God's message for us today. I've given you all that you need to not fall into chaos and anxiety and to not fall into what Job did, doubting God's goodness and trustworthiness. He is not disturbed. God does not want us to be disturbed. He wants us to be confident. So here's the message again from the behemoth to Job. Job, the chaos of your life is not a threat to the trustworthiness and sovereignty of God. God is saying, I made behemoth and I know he's chaotic to you, but I have him on a leash. God has chaos on a leash. It can only go so far, and no matter how far it does go, it does not threaten who he is. He's still trustworthy. He's still strong. He's still in control, and we can't see the purposes, but we can trust his character, and he's revealed his character to us. So now it shifts gears into chapter 41, and we look at the Leviathan. Now I'm just going to read this straight through. If you have a Bible and you just want to follow along, or maybe you just want to listen and use your imagination, just soak in the big picture here and think about how much detail God gives to this chaotic sea creature, sea monster. Chapter 41, verse 1. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line with which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or lay his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. In other words, try to pet him, lose your hand. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? Now, verse 10 and verse 11 are key. No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up, Leviathan. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. Now back to Leviathan. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? You can't skin him. Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light, and his eyelids are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out from his nostrils as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail. Nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He ain't scared of your 30-30. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. He chews on it. The arrow cannot make him flee. Slingstones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. His undersides are like sharp potsherds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. It's old. On earth, there is nothing like him, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. Now, who wants to go swimming in the Mediterranean Sea and run into that guy? You just think God gave an entire chapter of the Word of God to describing a sea monster. His point is he sees the details. There are no details in your life that he doesn't see. He sees the chaos, the frustration, the hard things. He knows the thoughts, the battles, the things that people say and do in your life that stir you up and cause you to lose your peace. He knows. He's attentive to the detail. So let's look at a couple pictures and then come back to this. Isabel's Leviathan, right there. Love the hook. You can't be hooked. It's what God said. You can't hook him. People trying to hook him, it's not going to happen. Alden's Leviathan. I mean, who wants to go swimming and meet this guy in the water? Holly's Leviathan. Great job. There's those big plates on the back. I love it. But don't let the colors fool you. He's not nice. She's not nice. Eli's Leviathan. Got the fire coming out of the mouth. Got the tracks in the clay right there. Aria's Leviathan. This one has wings. He's coming up and out of the water. Jaden's Leviathan. Smoke and fire coming out. Great job. And Colson's Leviathan. Again, scary, colorful, mean. You don't want to mess with him. There's none like him on the earth, God says. And God's big point is this. If you can't make a pet out of Leviathan, if you're not going to go to a zoo and see Leviathan there because he can't be tamed. And God is using Leviathan and the terror of Leviathan, but actually to point to the greatness of himself. So God is saying, look, I am untamable. If you try to question God's goodness, if we try to accuse God of wrong, if we try to correct God or somehow put God on a leash, God is saying, I will fight back all day. I will not be boxed in. I am untamable. People can't just confine me to their limited way of thinking no more than they can confine this sea creature. God would go on in verse 9. We read it, and he said, any hope of overcoming Leviathan is false. God is saying Leviathan is unbeatable. He is saying of himself, I am unbeatable. There is an enemy who wants to take you out by getting you to curse me. He's saying the enemy's not going to win over me, so don't let him win over you. God cannot be overcome. And again, we know the bigger picture of the Bible. We know that there was a day that an enemy, that an angel of heaven tried. How did that work out? So you remember in Job chapter 3, when Satan comes walking into the courtroom of heaven, he is not permitted to speak until God calls on him. Satan's not going to beat him. He's not going to speak over him. God's saying it's not going to happen. And then you got to the end and you saw where on earth there is none like him. There's no creature on the whole earth that can even compare to Leviathan. God is simply saying to us today, he has no equal. God is unequal. No one preceded him that can be above him or even equal to him. How does that comfort us? It's the same message. And this is where God's conversation with Job ends. You think about this 4-chapter conversation, and then it ends by talking about this sea creature. And God is saying the same message again. The chaos of your life is not a threat to the trustworthiness and the sovereignty of God. God has this sea creature on a leash. He has chaos on a leash. It cannot go further than he permits it. And we see the end. We have the story. We have all the good news that Job didn't have. And we have every reason to trust him. So what I want to do this morning is pause here as Job repented in chapter 42. In chapter 42, Job simply says, now I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I didn't understand. Job says, I spoke, but I didn't understand what I was even saying. And so Job is repenting. So what I want to do for just a minute as we close is shift gears, and I want you to go back to the day of Jesus' crucifixion. And I want you to see this day as how the Bible describes it, chaos, and it looks like chaos unleashed. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't robbing a bank. He wasn't vandalizing buildings. He wasn't breaking and entering and murdering. He was praying. It was chaotic because they arrested him. They came in with torches and swords and clubs. They arrested him like he was the most wanted man on planet Earth. It was chaotic. It was a sleepless night. He was brought before different people of authority all night long. And by sunrise the next morning, he had already been scourged, beaten, and whipped with a cat of nine tails, which is just horrendous to do to a man who didn't do anything wrong. It looked like chaos was winning. By 9 a.m. that morning, all this mob of people had shouted, crucify him, crucify him. What do I do with Barabbas, this notorious murderer that we know has killed people? Release him, release him. So they chanted for Barabbas. And by 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. that dark Friday, he was on the cross. And to the whole world, it looked like chaos had won. God, the sovereign God, couldn't control the chaos of the evil on this earth. But whenever he arose, God reminded the whole world, and he reminds us today, I have chaos on a leash. He let chaos go that far because it was a part of his purpose. It was a part of his plan to redeem you, to redeem me. And so when life feels out of control and you can't make heads or tails of anything, the wisdom that God wants us to keep coming back to, and the wisdom that Job was stepping into, it is for us to simply do this. Behold the God who died and was raised for us. Chaos was permitted to go so far, but it didn't win. It's never won. It's not going to win. But when we behold the gospel, when we keep coming back to what we know is true of Him, rather than questioning the things that we were unsure of, what happens is God has our undivided attention. We're in His presence. He has our attention, and the conclusion will be the same every time. We will not land over here in this sphere of God can't be good. I doubt Him. I question Him. Why would He do this? We're always going to land on the side of saying, okay, I know that You're trustworthy. You're not chaotic. You are orderly. You have a plan that is beyond me. You have a purpose that is beyond me. And I don't know if somebody needs to just see this again today. Just read it with me. The chaos of this world is not a threat to the trustworthiness and sovereignty of God. He knows what He's doing. He will give us the strength. He will give us the peace to stand for Him, even if it costs us everything. Let's pray. Father, if someone is here today that has never trusted in who You are, Your goodness on the cross for them. If someone is here today and all they've ever believed is a lie, they've only believed the worst, they've been overrun and overtaken by everything bad and chaotic and evil in this world, Father, let today be the day that Your Spirit calls them to a faith in the gospel, to come to You. Let them be at peace even now at this moment, that they have people who they can talk to. They have an altar they can come to. They have men and women in this church that care about them and want to see them come to know You for who You are. For the church, for Your children. Father, we ask that You would speak higher and louder over the hardships that we've encountered this week, this month, this year. Speak above it and let us fix our eyes not on the hardship, but on who You are. And we thank You for allowing the story of Job to speak deeper trust into our lives. Father, we ask Your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.